The desert sky was cloudy, yet the morning was warm. So was the rattler, and getting warmer by the second. This one, pissed off anyway at being disturbed while sucking down solar energy on a nice flat piece of sandstone, was molting, and the sacs behind the obsidian bead eyes were swollen huge with a winter's accretion of venom. Their pressure and the itch of shedding dead skin made the 6-foot rattler double savage. It had him scoped, too. It was reared back and flicking its tongue at him. It wasn't rattling yet. From Ryan's experience, it might not. Crouching, dressed in just his jeans and boots and shirt with rolled-up sleeves, Ryan tried to stay light on his feet, ready to dodge left or right if it struck. He began to circle the snake to his left. His left arm was immobilized in a canvas sling. He actually could move it meaningfully, wiggle his fingers and everything, but without strength and not without pain. Still, he reckoned he had to have only cracked his collarbone in the fall, instead of busting his arm outright, for him to have this much use of it so soon after getting wounded. That, or the little ones possessed healing skills beyond even Mildred's, which was entirely possible. The Ewoks were some eerie little bastards, for all their almost comical friendliness. Trying to track the persistently annoying heat source, the Diamondback came out of the neat, powerful coil in which Ryan had discovered it. This was the serpent equivalent of being off balance, and what Ryan had been counting on. It could no longer strike to maximum range. He darted suddenly back to his right, lunged in, grabbed. He caught the snake's tail just beneath its impressively long rattle. He yanked it off the ground with a smooth motion. The rattler tried to double back to plant its spear-like fangs in his flesh. It was bastard mad. He could feel the muscles quivering violently beneath his hand as the snake tried to shake its tail to rattle its rage. They were like pulsing liquid steel. The snake turned its arrowhead left and right. Ryan turned his wrist deftly in the opposite direction to the snake's every move. It couldn't reach him, quite. So his reflexes and sure-handedness and the depth perception he'd trained himself to have since losing an eye to his brother as a youth were all back firmly in place. One more test remaining. He swung the furious snake up in the air and let it go. As it came down, writhing and rattling, he quick drew his punga from his belt and struck. The head flew free in a gush of dark blood. The body landed in the middle of a clump of bunch grass, still doubling spastically left and right.
Bravo. Very impressive, Ryan Cawdor.
Ryan turned. The little one's shaman, Farwalker, sat on his haunches 10 feet away, gazing at the human with wide, wise eyes.
Thanks.
Ryan knelt, plucked a handful of dry grass, and wiped snake blood from the heavy blade. He scrubbed it with sand to make sure it was all the way clean before returning it to his scabbard. Then he rose and picked up the decapitated body. It doubled, as if still trying to bite him, with phantom fangs.
Good eating. Tastes just like chicken.
The protein will do your healing processes good. Regretfully, we cannot provide a sufficiency for you.
The food his hosts had provided Ryan had been usable by his omnivore body, quite nourishing by the evidence, and even tasty for various types of grain, grass, herbs, and just plain weeds, spiced with occasional pinion nuts. Naturally, the little ones were strict vegetarians. But more than that, they were absolute pacifists. It was hardwired into their genes by their creators, Farwalker had explained.
Farwalker, there's one thing I've been wondering about.
Ask, friend Ryan.
How in the name of glowing nuke shit did your people ever get the name Little Ones?
We worship your people as our creators. We try to keep it low-key around you to avoid embarrassing a beloved guest.
His old eyes laughed as he said this. He laughed a lot. He was that kind of sage, Ryan reckoned.
Our racial memory stretches back far and far, beyond even the time our ancestors were captured and taken to the labs so that your people could work upon us the magic they called genetic engineering. From these very cliffs we were taken, and to here, in time, forever changed, were returned.
Huh.
Ryan nodded. He surmised that the pre-dark whitecoats, with time and unaccountable black budgets weighing heavy on their hands, had tried to breed a rad-resistant race of servants. Even Mildred shook her head at the wilder excesses of certain scientists of her time, like blowing up the planet. Doc's accounts of his experiences in the bowels of the Totality concept and its Operation Kronos, the most super-secret whitecoat projects of all, were fragmentary and hallucinatory, but they always brought to Ryan's mind the phrase, power without responsibility. Like mad children possessed of near infinite power, the whitecoats from before the nuke were capable of damned near anything, and seemed to have done most of it.
When it came time to name ourselves, for we were a new thing upon the earth, and our forebears, lacking the power and knowledge of words, had never before possessed a name, we searched that racial memory. And from that collective unconscious, or perhaps preconscious, bubbled up one phrase. A single sentence we had heard repeated by our ancestors so many times that, without even understanding it, it had imprinted itself, as it were, upon our very DNA.
And that was?
Those little ones sure are cute.
You're laughing at me.
Certainly.
Farwalker clutched his fat, buff belly to prove it was true.
But it is also the truth.
Ryan shook his head.
You're healing up nicely, One Eye Chills.
Thanks to you and your people.
That was the name the Apaches had given him. Ryan didn't know if the little ones had come up with it on their own. Their sense of humor, for whatever reason, was a lot like that he'd encountered among Indians who had trusted him enough to open up in his presence. Their perceptions were Indian-like in a lot of other ways as well. But then again, he might have babbled it in his delirium. Or the shaman might have skimmed it out of his mind while inhabiting his dreams. Ryan never doubted for a moment, after his wits returned, that the little one's shaman had done so. Had it been almost anybody else, Ryan would have been at the least creeped out, and maybe made chilling mad by the notion of somebody wandering around inside his skull with him. But he trusted Farwalker not to intrude upon his mind and soul. They began to walk back toward the little one's ville, which consisted of burrows dug right next to the big ditch. Some actually opened onto the canyon. Evidently, Ewoks weren't much given to sleepwalking. Ryan still carried his dead snake. He was serious about eating it. Just the feel of meat made his stomach rumble.
You are most welcome, friend Ryan. As you are always welcome as our honored guest. Understand, please, that we are not, how would you say, altruists. But we feel a great debt to your kind. They took much from us, it is true. But it is in our hearts that the gifts they gave us, of mind and speech, far outweighed our loss. We know you didn't personally have anything to do with it. We also know many of your people are to be feared and never trusted.
You hit the eye and not the brow there.
Yet we have come to like you in person, as we admire your true heart and strong spirit.
You're soaping me now.
Trying to. But I speak straight from the heart. We count you our friend, and hope you reckon us likewise.
You did save my life.
Indeed. And please understand, you owe us nothing for that. But still, when you are finished healing, not yet, we would ask a favor of you.
Well, why don't you go ahead and get to the trigger of the blaster, not keep stepping all around the muzzle.
We want you to slay a monster.
Ryan stopped walking.
A monster?
A monster. Perhaps not a terribly big monster by your standards. No more than 2,000 pounds mass, and surely less than 9 feet in height. But immense by our standards.
So a ton, and less than 10 feet. What kind of monster?
A bear. A most voracious bear. We lose many folk to its appetite, young and adults alike.
A bear. No bigger than a big grizz or a polo bear. My Star Long Blaster's a little light for a bear that size, but I know how to place my shots to make them count.
Not so fast, friend Ryan. I have no wish to mislead you. This isn't just any bear.
It's not, huh?
It is an armored bear.
What does that mean exactly?
Its body is covered with scales, some as large as your hand. We do not know whether they are made of bone or just horny hide, but they are very hard and tough. Such, I fear, that even bullets from your mighty fire stick, in caliber 7.62mm NATO, would bounce harmlessly off them.
Now isn't that just ace?
Ryan rubbed his chin. As usual, stubble rest beneath his fingers, just a half day past shaving himself clean.
What if I say no?
Farwalker spread his three-fingered hands.
As I have said, you are our beloved and honored guest. We will shelter and heal you as long as you wish to remain among us. Of course, in so doing, you run the same risk as all of us, that the armored bear will invade your burrow and eat your head.
Makes sense.
But as I said, we are not altruists, nor do we ask this great deed of you without offering something in return.
Which is?
If you slay the monster, and, well, live, I shall guide you on a spirit walk. Reveal to you the fate and whereabouts of your friends. I can even show you possible paths into the future for you and they, although such ways are perilous and quickly obscured by fog.
Huh. That's a powerful inducement. Now, to do this, I take it I have to ingest mind-altering substances?
That is customarily required, yes. Unless you care to undergo years of meditation and training, as I have done, which, I'm afraid, still entails taking the mind-altering substances. Sorry.
The fuzzy shaman blinked around at the sky.
Would you mind terribly if we started walking again? I feel uneasy remaining in the open too long.
The bear?
Scream wings.